Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'm going to be talking with David Jort about his family's summer trip to Walt Disney World on the deluxe dining plan and celebrating his 10th wedding anniversary. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello, Aaron. How's your, what is it, Wednesday, technically, going?
Hopefully by the time we post this one, I will be on my way back home. At the moment, I'm working out of the satellite office in Omaha, Nebraska. On travel.
Mobile Command Center.
Yes, on travel for work that is not nearly as much fun as the conference that I attended in Orlando a few years ago.
Nice.
So, this was a trip you just took this past August, so, you know, just about a month ago, not even really, and
this was a
big trip in a lot of ways, because it was an anniversary celebration, your 10th anniversary. It was, you did some birthday celebrating, as I recall, on this trip, and was
yes.
this one of your kids' first trips, or?
Yep. It was daughter 7. It was her 3rd. And my son, who is 2, it was his first trip. So,
okay.
lots of stuff to celebrate and all kinds of buttons to wear. It was great.
All right. Well, let's start with the background story. When did you decide that you were going to take an August trip, and how do you decide that you're going to travel, you know, at the height of summer to Orlando?
As soon as 2014 was able to book, we booked, I think, the day after, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty close to
in July. So I think it was a 400-plus day countdown to it. We had figured, you know, it's our 10th anniversary next year, or this year, and let's do something big. So let's do another Disney trip. We'll go over our anniversary in August. Now my wife teaches, so obviously summer vacations are the way for us to go. Normally we wouldn't travel that late. Our anniversary is August 21st, which ended up not being the dates for this trip. We'd originally booked for that and had to switch because her school started back a week earlier.
All right, so let's also talk about your resort choice. I know you kind of bounced a lot of things back and forth, and talk about, you know, what you ultimately settled on and how you made that choice.
Well, we had originally planned on, and this was kind of a budgetary thing, going with a moderate resort. And so that was the plan for most of the time leading up to the trip. And then they came out with...
But then there was a room discount.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Late in the game.
Yeah, room discount late in the game. Did the math, and the math said that it was only going to be another, $300 or $400 to upgrade to the yacht club. And doing some Disney math, that was only, $60-some dollars a night. So we said, what the heck? It might have been $500. I don't know. It didn't really matter. We were upgrading either way.
The discount sold you on the upgrade, and it made sense for you, really.
It always did. And the more we thought about it, the more we figured we could walk to two parks at that point. We were going to be spending – not at this time. We didn't realize it'd be that much time at Hollywood Studios. Thanks, Frozen. But we knew we were going to be going to Epcot a couple days. We were going to be going to Hollywood Studios a couple days, and then – we have a vehicle, so worst comes to worst, we can drive wherever we're going and you know, bus it to the Magic Kingdom or what have you. So we thought that it was a pretty good home base. Like the pool, I know we'd thrown around like the boardwalk and that type of thing. They were all right in the same price range after the discount, but right. But to be able to take advantage of Stormalong Bay, we decided to go with that. And I'd never stayed at the Yacht Club.
Well, I was just going to ask about that. So I knew it was a new resort for you. And what did you think of Yacht Club?
Yacht Club was pretty awesome. I know it takes a couple knocks here and there for kind of being the furthest away of the Epcot resorts, which I don't understand why. but it was definitely a nautical themed trip for all of us. My wife got into it pretty heavy there. So room was great. We ended up being at the end of a hall, which really wasn't as bad as it sounds. We're on the second floor, back in a corner, and had kind of a corner room. And I don't know if the square footage was bigger, but it sure as heck was a bigger room than I can remember. And even compared to other deluxes.
Yeah, they are a little bit bigger.
Okay, that's what
the,
I
said. The Crescent Lake Resorts, Yacht Club, Beach Club, Boardwalk, and then the Monorail Resorts, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, Contemporary, have the largest deluxe rooms on property for standard hotel rooms. The lodges are deluxes but have slightly smaller rooms as their standard rooms.
Okay. We love the resort. Location was great. Loved the pool. Room was great. You know, all the normal stuff. The one thing we did like about it was such a big complex, and I don't think I ever realized how big of the complex it is between the Beach Club and the Yacht Club. There's a lot to do, and there's a lot of places to eat, and there's a lot of things, like, maybe not event-wise, but, I mean, you have, what, five or six restaurants between the two hotels.
Sure.
Which we took advantage of. And the pool is obviously a great amenity. Beaches and Creams right there. So the fact that you can use snack credits just to get ice cream is awesome.
Yeah.
So we really enjoyed it. And just the fact that you had the boat transportation on top of walking, surprisingly, we actually walked to, at least I did more so. I had gone a couple extra times to Hollywood Studios, okay. Kind of just commando, but we'll get to that. But it was nice not having to get onto anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was. And I hadn't experienced that before. This was really a first time. So,
yeah, I mean, a lot of times people don't think about those Crescent Lake resorts having the walking access to theme parks. When they think about walking access to a park, you know, the one they think about is the Contemporary's Walk to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But, you know, those areas around Crescent Lake, you've got that easy access really to two theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get away from the resort, I wanted to ask real quickly about the pool. You know, you've got younger kids, mm-hmm. and I assume in the summer the pool is crowded. You know, I've heard some people say that, you know, Stormalong Bay would be great, but the times that it would be great, they're just afraid that the pool would be too crowded, especially if they've got younger kids. The kids wouldn't be able to enjoy it because it would be overwhelming. Was that your experience or not?
Not at all. I mean, it's Disney, so you expect the pool to be crowded, but I expected it to be a lot more crowded than it was. Now, I don't know if Magic Bands have had any sort of deterrent on people attempting to pool hop into this place, because I know you have to get the wristband and all that stuff, but they were scanning Magic Bands when you walk in, and then they put another band on you, like an old school paper band, right? Wristband.
They've always used the paper bands.
Right.
But the Magic Band gives them sort of an extra layer now.
Which I don't have any solid numbers on people that would sneak into Stormalong Bay, but it didn't seem like there. I mean, it wasn't as crowded as I pictured it to be. Even the side with that is shallower. Kind of the more, like, if you want to play in the sand bottom pool,
right?
On the Yacht Club side. I mean, it was crowded, but it was manageable. I mean, if you wanted to play in the sand, you had all the room in the world. And I mean, this is, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, height of pool time.
Sure.
So we used it, several days. We actually, in the middle of the trip, because we were staying there, made sure to plan a pool day. Plus, my wife doesn't understand that you're not supposed to relax at Disney. So. But so she wanted a pool day, and we took it and had some beverages and swam, and just kind of a nice little relaxing day. Just as a warning / relatively funny story. So you know they have the for lack of a better term, the lazy river type thing. Okay, well, when you think of lazy river, you think it's going to be how deep? 36 inches?
Yeah, somewhere around 3 feet, I was going
to
say.
Right, 3 feet. So my daughter wanted to go over there, and so we get over there, grab a tube, go to set her on it, and out of the corner of her eye, she sees how deep it is. And she's like, "Daddy, this is deep." I'm like, "No, it's not. It's like whatever." And I look over, and it's 7 feet deep. And at this exact moment, my wife is stepping off the edge with my 2-year-old son in her hand, thinking that it's only 3 feet deep.
Oh, that she's just going to float down there holding.
Oh, yeah. So she steps in, and the next thing you know, and she tells it better than I do. She's like, "All I hear is, honey, it's 7 feet."
Okay, I'm laughing now only because I know that your wife and your child were okay.
my son had on one of those, I don't know what they call them, the like, not the actual life vest, but the swimmy things, right?
The floaties.
So she, like, heard me and lifted him up, so he was fine. She went straight under. I jumped in thinking that I'd be able to save her, not realizing that it's still 7 feet deep. So, word of warning, if you haven't been there before, realize the Lazy River is not your standard 36 inches deep. I honestly couldn't believe how deep it was once we got in, and it didn't make sense to me. It was awesome. I mean, I'm okay with it.
Right.
But that was
more river than lazy, really, once you get to 7 feet.
Exactly. So that was funny.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start taking our tour of the parks, because we got a lot to cover here, because you had a week's worth of parks and you were on the deluxe dining plan. So I know we're going to have plenty of dining to talk about as well.
19 ADRs.
So I don't think we'll probably get to all of them.
Well, we don't have to. It's already too time consuming thinking about it.
But let's go ahead and start where we usually start, and that's in the Magic Kingdom. I had young kids, so I presume you spent a pretty good chunk of your time at the Magic Kingdom.
But we spent 3 full days and 1 evening there, which worked out really well. We kind of bookended the trip with it, and this kind of all revolves around the fact that we were trying to get a Be Our Guest reservation. All right. Wanted to do dinner at Be Our Guest. Had it all planned out and was waiting to hit my 180-day window, and my wife's school stuff came out. She had to change her trip last minute. Called my travel agent, who's awesome, and he took care of everything. But what happened was, we moved it back 2 weeks. I was already inside my 180-day window, so it was like, boom, I had to get on the phone and call. And my whole plan, which would have been fine if I would have called on 180 days out, I couldn't get Be Our Guest for the day that I wanted, because I didn't want to really we basically back-ended our Magic Kingdom days. Like, we went the first day, then we went the last 2 days we were there.
Okay.
So, which was fine. Like, we always had that to look forward to, and we had, you know, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train hooked up for that last couple days. So we were good on that, but it just, we had to force in a Magic Kingdom evening just to kind of, I don't know, satiate us, I guess.
Well, so, you know, you got young kids, and mm-hmm. it's hard to be at Walt Disney World and to have, you know, 5 days in a row of a trip where you're not in the Magic Kingdom, which is the park that's probably the one that's most familiar to them.
Exactly. Exactly. So we started off in the Magic Kingdom. First day we were there with our what has been a tradition for us, which is go to Crystal Palace for breakfast at 8:05, so we can get in and take pictures before everyone comes running through and whatever. So okay, so backtrack. We stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge the night that we got in.
On the arrival day.
Right. So we got in, we got up, we went down, we checked in or checked out, drove over to the yacht club and checked in. Well, when we checked in, our room was ready at like 7 in the morning, which we didn't expect.
Yeah.
So they're like, do you just want to take your luggage up now? I'm like, time, maybe. So really, really great guy. I have his name written down. He was one of the Bell guys there. He loads up the cart. He's taking us up, and he's from Manhattan, and we're talking about New York City and all this stuff. And we get to the room, and he just pulls his little key fob out. Or I'm sorry, I used my Magic Band, and it didn't flash green.
Oops.
So we're like, uh-oh. So it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, when that happens, there are people in the room. I'm like, uh-oh. So here we are. My daughter is dressed in her her Elsa dress. My son is like ready to rock and roll. He has no clue what's going on. He's like, I don't know, but I think we're going somewhere fun.
Right.
And we're just standing there. And this whole time I'm thinking, I have a reservation at 8 o'clock. And it's 7:05.
Stack of luggage there. And
exactly.
You've got a bellman who's telling you that your Magic Band isn't opening the door because though somebody's supposed to have exited this room already, they probably didn't.
Right. Well, so he radios down to the desk. They're like, it must be the battery. There's no one in that room. So I'm again, half not really freaking out, but all I can think of is, look, we're not going to get into the park early, and I'm going to get hit with $40, and we haven't even been on a quote-unquote trip for like 2 hours.
Right.
So he's like, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to go right back down to the lobby. They're going to get you a cab. They're going to take you over there. They're going to pay for the cab. We're going to drop you off at Magic Kingdom, and you can go in, and you'll get to your reservation in time. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
He took all of our luggage, said, I'll get your room straightened out. You may get your room may change, but go back to the desk. By the time we walked back down to the desk, we had a new room number. Everything was to work out. Luggage was to go there. They had a cab waiting for us. All I had to do was park the car. And they took us, they dropped us off at the Contemporary, and we walked over, and we made our reservation.
Amazing.
Out of this world customer service. It was like everything went from, well, poop, to, all right, well, I'm really sweaty now because I basically just sprinted through the Magic Kingdom to get to our reservation. But
you made it on time.
Right. We got there. I mean, we might have been a few minutes late, but that doesn't matter, you know.
Sure.
So we get there, we do that, but Crystal Palace changed everything. Not the breakfast, but as we're sitting down, I'm hearing the girl who was seating everyone telling them that it was going to be up to a 90-minute rotation to meet all four characters.
Oh, wow.
Which we had done this 3 years prior, and we had all, you know, all Pooh and Tigger and everyone come through. It was within 15 minutes of us being there.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, they figured out the loophole, and they closed it real quick.
Yeah, so they've extended, basically, the rotation, so there's more time between the characters.
Yep, yeah. So we're sitting there, and we're eating breakfast. And so, you know, luckily, Pooh came right over, and I think it was Piglet also that morning. But I'm like, hey, we're eating here again later in the week. I'm like, and I look square at my daughter. I'm like, all right, G. Two options. One, we can hang out here for Tigger, or we can go meet Anna and Elsa with our fast pass at 9 o'clock. So obviously we all know what the answer
would be. From the little girl in the Elsa dress.
Exactly. So we paid and booked it out, and my daughter is 7. She's getting older. We don't know how much longer the princess thing is going to happen. So my wife not only did we have a bunch of dresses for this trip, 11 to count, which we only went for 7 days. we had 3 costume changes the first day before 9:30 in the Magic Kingdom. So so we could
clearly not a dad planned element of the trip.
No, but if I show you my spreadsheet, I had to add a row that says Gianna's dress. So I could keep it straight for my wife so that she knew.
Right.
Which, I mean, it worked out. It's all good. I God bless her, my wife. We could not find an Elsa dress. My wife made one. Before 9 o'clock, before 10 o'clock, we had met Elsa, changed, went in and met Rapunzel and Cinderella, changed into Little Mermaid, and went and met Ariel. And then changed into, as I refer to it on my little chart here, as peasant clothing. And then that began the rest of our day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were a little meet and greet heavy in the morning.
Yes, meet and greet heavy in the morning. This is our first trip with FastPass Plus.
Right.
And I guess we'll do kind of a little overarching talk here, if that's okay for you here.
Sure. No, I was just going to say, let's talk about how you managed FastPass Plus for a week-long trip. Because it's one thing when you're, you know, doing 4 days and then you're really only going to get, you know, 3 fast passes in each park in your advance reservations because you're limited time. When you're there a little longer, I think you've got a little more flexibility. You can do some more things with your fast pass choices.
Yeah, completely. And that was kind of the best part of this. We went character meet and greet heavy early because last time we'd gone, you didn't have this option, and Rapunzel was huge at that point. So we kind of did the same thing and got all of the stuff that I wanted to make sure my daughter did, that she wanted to do, out of the way. Because I didn't want to hear at the end of the week, we have to go do this, because I didn't.
Right.
It just made everything completely easier. So we did that. She was a big fan of Peter Pan. So did Fast Pass for Anna and Elsa at 9, Peter Pan right after that, and then we did Splash Mountain at 11. So got all that out of the way, rode Peter Pan, rode Small World, son's first time on both, loved it. And in stark contrast to my daughter,
I remember some stories of fears that you might be escorted out by park security.
Yes. Last time it looked like we were trying to steal her. She went kicking and screaming off of pirates. So I was worried about him, and he was loving it. He loved Peter Pan. He loved Small World. He loved everything that he was on, including Haunted Mansion, pirates, everything. Which there's a funny story about pirates coming down the road too. So we did Peter Pan, did that, and had Splash Mountain, which at this point is my daughter was all about this when she was 4 and bawled when we got into line. Fast passed it. I'm like, look, are you ready to do this? She's like, yes. Walk through. She's like, Daddy, I'm a little scared. I said, look, we get on this log. You are good to go. Trust me. It is a blast. You've watched it on YouTube 10,000 times.
Right.
Okay. So we get on Splash Mountain, and she's sitting there. She's like, Daddy, I'm going to be scared. I said, it's not a big deal. I'm right here. I'll hold you the whole time. We went through. We didn't even get to that first 20-foot drop, and the ride breaks down. We are sitting 5 boats back behind the drop. And my daughter's like, are we going to go? I'm like, I don't know. They evacuated us off of Splash Mountain.
Oh, my. So you're 10 feet from the drop.
Yeah, 10 feet from the first drop. That if she gets over that first drop, she's fine.
Right.
This comes into play later. So they come up, and they have this big rope, and they're pulling us off. So, like, we exited backstage. Never seen it. So as we're exiting, they give us a fast pass for any major – any of the big mountains, including Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Nice.
Yeah. We get off that. We're like, okay, well, it's such and such o'clock. We had a reservation at Kona for lunch. So we're kind of tired, you know, sort of long day. So we just boogie out of the park, go eat lunch at Kona. Great food. Really love it. Love to go back. I guess you want to touch on food later.
Well, I mean, actually, this is a good point to talk about sort of your deluxe dining plan strategy, because we've talked about this before, and this is a chance, I think, maybe to illustrate it a little more clearly. We've talked about this before, how a lot of people complain that deluxe dining is just too much food, too many sit-downs, too much time,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you've kind of turned this into a bit of an art that, you know, you use this to your advantage to create midday breaks without, you know, throwing your hands up and heading all the way back to the resort.
Right. And it helped this time that my son just passed out in the stroller on numerous occasions.
Sure.
So that helps. And my daughter was a trooper, God love her, 7. She walked the entire time. She did not complain once. She might have been tired, and I might have had to carry her because she was falling asleep walking. But she didn't complain. And more power to her, because I thought 3 days in she was going to be, my heels hurt, my legs hurt, I don't want to walk anymore. You know, 7-year-old in a stroller.
Right.
You know. So, but basically, what we did was breakfast every morning, pretty much. Obviously, dinner every night, and then lunches between 12:30 and 1:30. Pretty much every day. It was 19 ADRs, and I don't think we will ever do the deluxe dining plan again.
Okay. So the strategy worked for you, but you
made
me hit the wall with it.
It worked, but I don't know if just last time we looked past it because it was just a family of three. I don't understand it, but it felt like every meal was about 25 minutes longer. And it wasn't that the service was bad. It felt like the service was extended, like in complete opposition to any real frame of thought in the food industry. It's turntables, right? Like, you want the next group in. I mean, I know if we have lunch at 12:30, it's going to be 75 minutes. I get that. So 1:30, maybe get one more ride, and you're back at the hotel at 3, sleep for a couple hours, get ready, go back to dinner at 6:30. And that was basically the plan last time, and it worked out. This time, Kona was the exception. We made it late for a reason. I'll come back to that. But, like, there were plenty when it was, instead of just over an hour, it was an hour and a half to almost 2 hours sometimes for lunch. And that was the really big eater. I mean, you know, it was too much food, and it always was. I gained 12 pounds on this trip, and that's absolutely no joke.
Right.
And the food was good. We had two experiences that I'm not happy with, but it was a server issue. The food was still awesome,
okay.
Which again surprised me, and I'll touch on both of those. But yeah, so I don't know if I will do it again. I still see the value there. I know we saved money. We had a lot of food, but I don't know if it was the added fourth person or what. But something wasn't like copacetic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that having an extra young child is a big piece of it, because I think that it slows everything down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you order a little more slowly because it takes a little more time to figure out what you're doing about the, you know, 2-year-old who doesn't eat a lot of things, has limited choices, and it's like the smartphone phenomenon, slowing down, turning over tables, right?
Yeah, that was a very interesting read, by the way.
Yeah, it's the stuff that you don't think about that slows it down. Like, you make your initial order a little bit, you know, a few minutes later because you've got the little one to deal with. And, you know, because you've got to feed the little one, it takes you just that much, a little bit longer to eat your entree. And, you know, once you add up all those little 15-minute additions in the time it takes to complete the meal, by the time you're done, it took you an extra hour.
Yep. So, yeah. So it didn't quite work out the way that I wanted it to, but it was still fine, because the way I had my days set up was we were done with our fast passes by 11. 11 o'clock was the last fast pass for the day. Everything after lunch was just going to be gravy, and then we were going back in the evening. That really didn't work out, but at least we weren't like sitting there saying we have a fast pass that we have to get there in 10 minutes.
Right. So you weren't pushing to get out of the restaurant. You just kind of dealt with the fact that it took longer than you wanted.
Exactly. It wasn't any additional stress. It was just, you walk out of a restaurant when you expect it to be 2 and it's 2:45, and you're like, well, we're still here. We might as well do one more ride. Right. So, but yeah, so that kind of overall, that's how the dining plan shook out. good food, and I'll get into some of it here because we had some pretty decent meals.
We might as well. Let's go ahead and talk food because we seem to keep rolling back to it. So
it's always.
19 ADRs. Why don't you hit us with maybe the, you know, top three and bottom three, and then we'll see if there's some other pieces you want to fill in the middle.
Okay. Well, Ohana, obviously. I know we all love Ohana. Had a great meal there. It was pouring outside, so we didn't feel like we needed to. It was a 6:35 dinner reservation. Got in, got seated right away. Got a sword full of meat. Tons of. I mean, I think I totally forgot they brought wings and pot stickers. Because I ate a ton of food. But did that. Wife got her Lapu Lapu. Second one of the trip. One at Kona, one at Whispering Canyon. Which she was excited because the pineapples have grown in size.
Okay.
Which I think the amount of alcohol inside had grown in size. Grown in size. To the point where we're walking out of Ohana this night, and she might kill me for telling this story, but she tells it, so whatever. We're walking out, and she goes, "What's that drink called?" I go, "A Lapu Lapu." And she goes, "I thought it was called a Lapau, because I am Lapau'd."
Okay.
Which has, yes, become the buzzword in the house recently that even my son will run around yelling Lapau. It's good times. But Ohana, great food. I really don't know if I need to say anything else about that because we're all kind of on that boat here in the Diz Dad community. We were actually really excited and surprised at Cape May Cafe for breakfast.
Nice little character breakfast, didn't it?
Yeah, it's not packed. You get Goofy, Donald, and Minnie. Or Daisy, or one of them. We ate there twice for breakfast, actually, because it was, you know, it's right next door, so we just walked over there. Once on our Epcot day, so we hit that and then went right to Epcot, and then the other one on the day that we were staying at the resort, so we didn't have to go anywhere. It was fantastic. The food was really good for breakfast food. They had a lot of options. I mean, they had your standard, you know, Disney breakfast fare, but I felt that some of the quote unquote healthier or lighter options were better than any of the other breakfast buffets that we went. I thought it was better than Crystal Palace's option, better than Disney Junior's options, although I barely got to eat there. That's a different story. We'll get to that. But then we did the dinner buffet also, and it was freaking out of this world. And I know you love it.
Yeah, it's one of my
favorites. You're a fan. Yes, and I was thoroughly impressed. Crab was good. The prime rib was excellent, and just it was a great meal overall. And that was actually, as a side note, we had some family friends come down for this trip with not with us, but they were there at the same time, scheduled it at the same time. They were going with their family of three, and it was my buddy's parents, so it was five of them total.
Okay.
So we really didn't do a ton together because it was kind of like their family thing too with his parents. But we did do one meal together because they stayed at the yacht club. We did Cape May, and did it as a nine top. It was great. It worked out really well, especially that venue, because the way they have the booth set up in some areas where it's kind of like a booth side by side, but you could put them together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But yeah, so we really enjoyed Cape May. Be Our Guest was a little underwhelming. Food was good. Great space. Loved that. A little dark because both of my children fell asleep at dinner in Magic Kingdom at Be Our Guest.
Yeah. Well, you know that when you're going for the atmosphere of the gloomy castle.
And we weren't even in the study or west wing there. We were in the rose room off to the right, and it was a 720 ADR for dinner. So it might have been a little late, but they were out. And this was another one that, okay, I get it. It's a dinner. It's there. It's probably the hardest ADR to get right now, and it took us 2 hours and 20 minutes to eat. I don't know if it was because our server saw that both of our kids were asleep and we might want like a little bit of mommy daddy conversation time because we might not have had that all week. Which could be. I looked at Brandy and I kind of said, like, you know, I really wish they were awake for this, but it's kind of nice. So I mean, the steak was good. It wasn't the best steak I had the entire trip. Brandy's meal was good. It was good, but if I wasn't on the dining plan, I don't know if I would pay to go there because I don't know if it's worth the hassle.
Okay, I can understand that. Now, you mentioned you'd had a couple of experiences that you weren't so happy with, mostly service-related, but...
Right. Well, Captain's Grill was one of them. We had... I don't know if it was just a bad night or what, but... The server that we had, we felt a little neglected, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, to the point where and both my wife and I come from the service industry, so we are very good at giving a lot of people a lot of leeway, but like we didn't have drinks for 25 minutes.
Yeah, see that isn't right. Not in the summer of Walt Disney World.
No, and you know, it's again. And then they screwed up the dining plan at the end of the meal, and it was the first night we were there, and she tried to pass it off. And this is what really got me. She tried to pass it off because when we sat down, because I made a really lame joke about it, we were paying out of pocket for my son at a lot of sit-down places because he's two.
Right.
So I made a lame joke about, we're paying for him, and you can give him the check. So I vividly remember saying this. And she came over at the end of the meal and said – hey, just so you know, you're going to get double charged for your children's meals because he doesn't have credits, so I just took one of hers.
No.
No, you don't do that. And then it took another 25 minutes to get it fixed, like to the point – I mean, we're in our hotel, right? They could have walked out.
Yeah.
The concierge desk is 4 feet from the front desk at Captain's Grill. They could have walked over, fixed it, and – been like, okay, that's fine. But no, they had to call. They had to wait. We waited 25 minutes there. I took the kids who were now asleep at this point because it's getting on 9 o'clock. We were going to go back to a park. Now we're not. And I had to take the kids up, come back down, and make sure everything was fine at concierge because I was not getting to 1900 park fare at the end of the week and having to pay out of pocket for my daughter because someone messed it up and instead of apologizing, tried to cover it up. So That was the big uh-oh.
Right.
And that was really the only big uh-oh. But that was really the one that was annoying. I don't know. That's enough. That's enough said about that. We're being positive, darn it. But yeah, 1900 Park Fair, I don't know if they were having an off night. It came around towards the end, but they were 25 minutes backed up seating wise, which isn't odd for there, but it took us 35 minutes to get a table when our reservation was for 6:30. And then everything just seemed off. Like the food wasn't being, like, and it's not Disney like for food to not be out, right? Like empty buffet trays and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like that.
That is weird.
And yeah, I mean, it was just, and that's all we wrote it off to. Like it was a good meal. The food that we got was good, and the later we were there, so it was like the first 25 minutes, it's basically like they got slammed, like right before we got there, and we were there for the first half an hour of them getting back up and running. Uh-huh. So
they hadn't recovered from their trip to the weeds yet.
Yeah, basically. But it was, I mean, food was good. Sushi was good there. As much as you can, it wasn't, you know, it's not really real sushi. It's the fake, it's, you know, cooked fake fish in a stick form sushi. Right. But it was good. Prime ribs always solid there. So it was good. Characters were great. Those were the two that I was alluding to.
Okay.
Hey,
2 out of 19 is not bad.
Hey, that's pretty decent ads. But I mean, I guess I do have to throw Via Napoli out there as another absolutely awesome one. Because okay. Anniversary, we had our buttons on and all of that. And a lot of places did this, but Via Napoli went above and beyond. We had appetizers, Well, no, we got those for free anyways.
Yeah, your appetizers were on the
plan. They were included. No, they brought dessert out, but they brought something else out that was – anyway, did that. They sang some weird Italian anniversary song to us.
Okay.
They just – like they really took care of us, and we had that experience before when we were there, thought that they were some of the best wait staff that we had when we were there in 11. And it continued this time, and you know they're still pretty smart. Any of the rather good looking Italian guys are all servers there. I'm just looking at them like, man, it's like a sea of tens in here. I know. I'm like, Brandy, are you seeing? She's like, no, I'm not seeing anything. Okay, all right. Yes. So, but that was a good meal. My son slept through it in a stroller, and that was. I mean, they were really great. Cause, you know, a lot of places they won't let you take the stroller in.
Right.
He was asleep. They're just like, wheel him over here, shove him under a table, basically.
That works.
So, yeah, exactly. So that was good. Got to build a ketchup. It's an engineering marvel. It was a ketchup tower as opposed to a ketchup pyramid,
right?
At Whispering Canyon.
Very nice.
I'll give you some pictures on that too. Perfect. I'm pretty impressed on that. But but yeah. So all right.
So there's our dining
whirlwind segment. Tour.
Yes, our dining segment there. Yeah. We talked a little bit about Magic Kingdom. We'll wrap back up with the rest of Magic Kingdom because I want to go ahead and make sure we hit the other parks here. So let's talk for a minute about Epcot. You were right next door. And let's just kind of hit some of the highlights of Epcot. You know, obviously, Viennapoli was a highlight. What were some attraction highlights or show highlights, other things going on in the park?
Viennapoli was great. Obviously, Soarin' was fine. Fast pass it, and then really there's nothing else there that you can fast pass that you really need to fast pass. The one thing that if you have small kids, always fast pass the character spot now that it's not tier one.
Right, as a tier two, it works.
We went once and standby was 10 minutes, and then went back the next day again, and it was it would have been like 25 minutes standby, and we were right in with the Fast Pass Plus. So Epcot was the first place my son met Mickey, so that went over well. He was a little apprehensive, but Mickey's his favorite thing in the world. Even he calls him Momo.
Okay.
I don't know, and he screams it at the top of his lungs. He might be like his dad and be very loud and project a lot.
just maybe.
So we really enjoyed that. We had some pictures of him kind of standing there just kind of staring up being like, you're a lot smaller on TV, dude, like that face.
Yeah.
I alluded to the fact we did it 2 days in a row. We did it the first day we were there, and we took the monorail over after Kona and walked through, hit that, then went to the hotel, and that was good. The second day we went, Mickey was awesome. Mickey did everything in Mickey's power to get him to come over and give him a hug, to the point of Mickey crawling around on the floor because my son was with him. Yeah, I mean, it was – there are some cute pictures. So it felt like it was one of those kind of above and beyond moments. Like it was very nice.
Sure.
But it was kind of like good from afar type of deal. So if he was 6-7 feet back, he would sit there and just stare.
Yeah.
But no big hugs, no big, you know, grabbing the Mickey nose type of pictures or anything like that. But he's a relatively reserved little gentleman, so it's all good.
Yeah, you know, my 7-year-old now, he loves the parks. He rides thrill rides. He does not want to get within 5 feet of any character except Stitch.
Really?
Really.
Wow. I can see that happening. I mean, he's just kind of – although, you know, we're in character spot. Now they have it down to just three characters instead of the five that it used to be.
Right.
So he was he saw Mickey, walked over, saw Goofy. Goofy was really big. Stared at Goofy for a little bit, saw Minnie and was all excited because Minnie's his girlfriend, I think. I don't know how that works.
Okay.
But so he goes over and he stands there and stares at Minnie, and then he's it, like, you could see in his little noggin that thing wheels were spinning. He's like, no, you're supposed to be hanging out with Mickey. He's over there. So he went running over and tried to get Mickey to come over to Minnie. Like, it was just really, like, he's like, you're supposed to be over here, like, playing.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he found Mickey's friend.
Yeah, exactly. So, So that was great. We had a very good experience at Turtle Talk with Crush. My daughter got to talk to Crush. She was super excited about that.
And while we're on the topic of getting picked for a unique experience,
yes,
we probably should talk about your birthday surprise. While
yes,
we're in Epcot.
Actually anniversary surprise, or but anniversary still, surprise. It might have been birthday too. I'm unsure. So we are at Sci-Fi Dine-In at 11 o'clock because my wife informed me that she had a special surprise for me. This is the Wednesday that we were there, so I had to change our Sci-Fi Dine-In reservations to 11 from later in the afternoon. And we walk in, we get seated, she hands me a bag, and in that bag is a little postcard, and on the back she'd written this really, found this really nice poem about the sea and us and whatever, and she had gotten me the Seas Aqua Tour as an anniversary present, which I have been in love with the seas ever since it actually was the seas.
right, before it was Nemo.
Before it was Nemo. Basically, since I was 10, I've always wanted to go scuba diving in the seas, which I'm not a diver, but they have this aqua tour, right? So it's basically souped up snorkeling for half an hour in the seas. So I'm in Hollywood Studios, and I have to be at the front of Epcot by 12:30.
Yeah.
It was a 26-minute walk. I don't think I've walked that fast in my life. Get over there. Didn't realize I had to go outside of the park and then go meet at customer service.
Right.
So it was
–
yes. So got there in time, did all that. Absolutely fantastic tour. They give you a little bit of behind-the-scenes – stuff. They you know, talk about their huge filtration system, which is four times the size of my house, kind of how they feed the animals and that type of thing. And I don't know if they say this every day, but, you know, they fed the sharks earlier today. You don't have to worry about it.
Reassuring.
Reassuring, exactly. So they do that, give you a tour of the manatee area, tell you all about that. Then they get you to what is the bulk of the tour and why everyone is there, which is they load you up with scuba gear, basically. It's a scuba tank. You have your wetsuit and everything, but the tank itself has two floats on it. So you can literally get in the water, lay down, and you are just floating on the top of the water. You don't have to work to keep yourself buoyant.
Okay.
So you have 30 minutes free to swim anywhere you want in the seas. There were 12 of us. They had four diving instructors there if you had any questions or having any issues. And you basically had run of the entire tank. You couldn't dive down. You had to stay on the top because you aren't certified as a diver.
Right.
But I don't know.
You didn't have to keep picking your head up.
You didn't have to keep picking my head up. Didn't have to worry about a snorkel going underwater. You had oxygen, and once you know you got used to it, 2 minutes in, you were fine. Now, have you done Shark Reef?
I have not.
At Typhoon?
I have not done it at Typhoon Lagoon.
I've done it several times. It's great, but you know, it's get in on one side, you swim to the other side. And that's what it is. This was completely immersive. The slower you swam, the more the fish would come up to you. I mean, the spotted eagle ray would come within, you know, 18 inches, check you out, then swim away. It was absolutely fantastic. I wish I could have had a camera.
Right.
Or something to that effect, but they tell you to look at your oxygen gauge, and if you hit 500, come over. We'll give you a new one. You can go back out. It's not like it's limited by how much oxygen you have.
Right.
Or anything like that.
They just want to make sure nobody runs out.
Right, exactly. We're like, well, if you have 2 minutes left and you have 500 pounds of pressure left, you're good. You can get through the next few minutes. They didn't want to you losing that time at the end of it because you're switching out O2.
Right.
So I'm looking at my gauge every once in a while when I'm getting down to like 1600. I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, well, if they're saying 500 is at about 30 minutes, which is what we should have, and I was at 3000 PSI, well, all right, I should have like 15 minutes left. Next thing I know, they're yelling that it's over.
Oh, like, so you managed to get through on one tank.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was – I thought the 30 minutes felt like five.
Wow.
It flew by. But it was just – it was absolutely amazing. I mean, obviously the sharks are there. You can see them. It's 30 feet of water, so you have a lot of water between you and the sharks. But
right.
Unfortunately, the sea turtles were napping. The one thing that I had heard about this afterwards was that if the sea turtles are active, they will come in and play with you, but you can't touch them.
Right, because they're protected species.
Right, but they can touch you.
Okay.
It sounds familiar. but it's a PG podcast, so right. I'm not making that reference.
Thank you.
But they were napping. Like, they looked like big German shepherds that had fins on the bottom of this tank napping. Like, they just looked like your lap dog.
Okay.
It was pretty cool.
Real quickly, to defend your wife briefly.
Yes.
I can say definitively,
yes.
The original plan was to surprise you with this on a day that you were supposed to be in Epcot.
Right. Right.
We ran into a problem because the tour isn't available every day.
Really?
So the days that you were in Epcot already were not days that the tour was available.
Nice. Yeah, no, it was absolutely fine. I mean, she told me you needed this much time to do that.
Right.
And so I figured that I'd be able to eat something little at Sci-Fi and then go do whatever she had me planning on doing, which I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite work out that way, so my son got to eat an adult-sized portion of chicken pasta with Alfredo sauce. I'm like, I need to go. I'm like, I probably need 50 minutes to get there just to make sure.
Right.
So that was it was absolutely awesome. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I would love to do the diving portion, but I live in central PA and there's no reason for me to get certified as a diver, but it was definitely worth it. I would recommend it to anyone who is into ocean life. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and you know, move on over to Hollywood Studios, and you know, we got a little bit of a taste of that. You had a truncated meal at Sci-Fi. I know that a lot of your time in Hollywood Studios ended up being consumed by the frozen summer.
Frozen, fantastic awesomeness. It actually wasn't wasn't horrible. I say that in the 5-hour wait for Anna and Elsa terms.
Right.
We went in, and the day we did a lot of the frozen stuff was the other day we were there. So Wednesday was our second day that got truncated by me leaving. Monday we were there. We did Hollywood and Vine for breakfast, Disney Junior. That was awesome. Again, they extended the time on that too. They were saying it was going to be 90 minutes till you saw all four characters. Before it was, like I said, 20 minutes. So that was a problem because my daughter wanted to do Jedi Training Academy, which apparently is the hottest ticket in the world right now. Let me rephrase. It's the only thing that you have to sprint to because you can't get a fast pass for it.
I was just going to say, the key is that now that people don't have to make the sprint to the other side of the park for Toy Story Midway Mania, they're freed up to make the Jedi Training Academy run.
Yeah. We were hoping that we could sneak our way out and do that, you know, as we would at Magic Kingdom. Well, Olaf threw a wrench into that. They have the the park opening at the big sound stage, right? So Olaf opens the park now. So they let everyone in at a quarter till, which, you know, 6 months ago, they let everyone in at a quarter till, and you could mosey your way to where you were going. Now, not so much. You get kind of corralled up around the stage. So I'm like, Gianna, if you want to do this, we're going over here, and you can watch Olaf from right next to this, you know, big metal post that has a rope attached to it. We ended up getting in the second show, Jedi Training Academy. So that worked, but it was much more stressful than I thought it was going to be. Right. So got and got that. The issue was it completely consumed the first 3 hours we were there. The show we got into was like 10:20. We had to do that. We had to do or sign up for it and then be back a half an hour prior to that.
Right. It's the half hour in advance orientation piece that I think makes it such a big time suck.
Right. Right. So we had that. Luckily, we had a few minutes. And I just asked a random cast member, I'm like, hey, do we all have to walk back to get first time in forever sing along tags or, you know, paper fast passes? They're like, no, you only need one person. So went sprinting back there myself, got them for the only show we could go to at 2:30. Well, not the only show, but the first show we could go to because we had lunch at 12:35. At 50s prime time. Right. So this is again one of those times where the rest of the day was really flubbed up by the fact that we had an ADR that we couldn't cancel because we were within the 24-hour period.
Right.
Because I probably would have once we got there and I saw all of this, because by 2:30 the park was absolutely crowded as all get out. We left lunch, had to change into the Elsa dress again, and then go to the sing-along. And by the time we got there, we were probably, 700 people back. So we got a seat in the back, and I may just be a little, you know, curmudgeon about it, but they sat us right behind a pole.
Lovely.
That only I couldn't see the center of the stage.
Okay.
And I wanted to video it just for my daughter because she loves sitting down and watching all these videos. So luckily she can find whatever she wants on YouTube. But I figured, you know, it'd be nice to be the one that we were at.
Right.
So I got some okay pictures, but I was behind this pole, and after basically standing in a corral like cattle, and then them hustling you into the theater. Which they really do hustle you, because the corral goes across a walkway, and they stop the walkway, hustle you across it, stop the corral, more people walk across, and they keep doing that until everyone is in. And when you walk in, they ask you your party size, and they just sit you in a seat. So they got that figured out. I think the issue is the show runs too long, but by the time it starts, they get through the 25-minute show, and then people linger and you get out. They don't have a lot of time to reset and get everyone in.
Yeah,
and they're trying
to get around as quick as they can jam as many shows a day in as they can.
Exactly. So this was a good show. Like, I would do it again. Like, it was cool. I thought they did a very good job with it. I was just really mad I was behind a post. and the fact that it was 2:30 and it's the sweltering heat in August, I would have done it differently if I would have known. I wouldn't have had that 12:30 ADR, then I would have gotten, because I had the option when I walked up there at 9:30 in the morning. I had the option of any show that I wanted.
Right. And you thought you'd given yourself plenty of time.
Exactly. I thought 2:30 was fine. We showed up like the beginning of the half an hour kind of lineup time, and whew, that was just, yeah. When they say come back at the beginning of that lineup time, you get there 10 minutes early.
It's not like a fast pass window where you're okay hitting the back end of the window.
Exactly. So so that was that. Jedi Training Academy was awesome. From a parent standpoint, it was probably one of the most proudest moments I've ever had, because my daughter looked square in Darth Vader's eyes whenever the Jedi Master asked her if she had anything to say to him, and she yelled, "I will never join the dark side, or I'll never join you." I forget which one it was, but it was almost a direct quote, and it was just It was awesome. It was awesome.
And, Daddy proud.
Exactly. And she's been practicing those moves for 3 years now. So, because she would watch the videos and she learned the routine ahead of time. So.
Sure.
And then the other entertaining part was there was another kid who wasn't mine, but he just didn't listen at all and was basically going for Darth Vader's head, like jumping.
Okay.
And it was awesome. I mean, it was like, wow. Like they had to hold him back. It wasn't good. It was funny. It wasn't good. Well, by the time we did all that other Frozen stuff, because we did Toy Story Mania, then we went to Wandering Oaken's fun, awesome playground, played in the snow for a while, which we don't have in the north. So obviously had to do that. So that was pretty much it. I mean, the only other thing about Hollywood Studios was I did pull an Evening Extra Magic Hours Commando by myself touring.
Oh, okay.
And I also screwed this one up again too. So they have the fireworks, right?
Yeah.
Well, the fireworks.
Oh, right. And because of the fireworks, they close a bunch of the attractions around the back of the park.
So I couldn't get back. Like, I got there, and I just wasn't worried about the Anna and Elsa stuff. So I just went – I rode Star Tours, like, 4 times in a row. And by the time my stomach started gurgling, I decided that I shouldn't ride it again. So I'm like, well, it's 10:05. I'm going right back to Toy Story. No, I'm not. So I ran, obviously, down Sunset Boulevard, and Tower of Terror was at 80 minutes at 10:05 because they were down to one elevator, and Rock and Roller Coaster summarily was at 65 minutes, and they didn't know how long the single rider line was. So I went single rider line, which was the worst decision I made on this trip.
Oops.
Because I saw people lap me in the regular line.
Ouch.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. See, that's actually an interesting point. I think you do better at Rock and Roller Coaster in the single rider line earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. I think in the evening you don't get as many, you know, late evening like that. You just don't end up with as many, single seats people who, you know, aren't traveling with someone else because a lot of those solo folks have already been to the parks, done what they wanted to do, and gotten out.
Right. Right. And that's I learned that, like, if I would have just, you know, settled down, grabbed a beverage for 10 minutes and then looked and saw that it was only a 15 minute wait, which is basically what it was. I waited a half an hour. I could have ridden it twice and then skedaddled. So did that. Got on Tower of Terror once. Which isn't I would have normally ridden it like 2 or 3 times,
sure,
but
sure.
Just I ended up wandering back to Toy Story, and it was 45 minutes at 20 to 12. So I bought an Olaf doll and called it a day. So.
So why don't we circle back and kind of pick up with highlights of the Magic Kingdom, you know. Aside from the first day stuff, because you said you got a good story about your son on Pirates, and
yes.
So let's hear about that, and maybe, you know, another couple of highlights from your Magic Kingdom experiences.
Okay. So we finally got my daughter on Pirates. She was crying getting on, but she loved it. Once we got her on it, she was fine. She was worried about that first little drop. Okay.
Okay.
So we got her past that. We ride Pirates. Everything's fine. That night was actually great. That was the night that we kind of just forced in an evening there.
Yeah.
Rode Pirates, rode a bunch of stuff. And my son fell asleep, so my wife and I just kind of traded off. Got her on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Okay. She ended up riding that 4 times.
Nice.
Yeah. So she loved that. Circle back to, I think it was the last night we were there. We go to get on Pirates again, and my son is asleep. And we're just like, whatever. So we go on Pirates, and my son is asleep. And we go down that drop and woke up a 2-year-old on Pirates of the Caribbean with cannon fire after a 20-foot drop. And he just, like, he was like, whatever. He didn't care. He's just like, how the heck did we get here? And then just took it all in. So I'm like, we're either ingenious parents or the worst parents in the world. I'm not sure which ones we are. But But yeah, so his face was relatively priceless whenever he wakes up in the middle of a pirate battle.
Right.
but so did that. He enjoyed Haunted Mansion, which I was surprised. I figured figured that wouldn't go over too well, but we all wanted to ride it and took him on that, so that was good. I'm trying to think of other. Gaston is by far the best face character in the world. If okay. No one knew that, I have video of him. This is from the first day we were there, yelling across the park at some girl who called him a villain, okay. And he kept saying, "You're pronouncing it wrong. It's hero. If you want to see the villain, go hang out in that castle over there." Like, it was fantastic. He played it up the entire time. This 11-year-old girl was arguing with him, and he just didn't back down. Like,
oh, yeah, Michaela gets into it with him every time. Oh. She hates him.
Oh, it was so much fun. And then my wife had to make a Gaston shirt so they matched my son and Gaston. So that was pretty solid. I thought I just – interaction-wise – it was fantastic. Just overall, it was great to just stand there and watch him with other people. And I don't know how many characters you can really say that about.
Right. Sure.
So that was good. LeFou's brew was 10 times better than I thought it was going to be. Didn't get a pork shank, and there were no pictures, and I didn't wrap a maple glazed cinnamon bun in bacon, which I said I was going to.
Yes.
And that didn't happen.
Twice. You were at Crystal Palace twice.
I know.
And
I know.
You didn't get the photo of the bacon wrap.
I know.
Well, you know what that means, right?
I just have to go back and do it.
Exactly.
Right?
You've got to go back to Disney World.
Exactly. So I'm trying to think here. So Fastpass Plus and Magic Kingdom are kind of made for each other. I think it's the only park, in my estimation, where the fourth and fifth and or sixth Fast Pass can actually help. We successfully, on three of the four times we were there, of course, the day we get there, my Magic Plus is down park-wide.
Oh, right. That was that crazy day where they like, couldn't even get people into the park because the whole system was down and they couldn't even scan bands in at the gate.
Yeah. Well, luckily we got in and all of our fast passes worked, but I walked up to one of the fast pass guys and I'm like, "So how do I make my third or my fourth fast pass now?" And he just goes like this and he's like, "How many are in your party?" I said, "Four." He said, "Here," and handed me it was basically a second tier fast pass for five people.
Nice.
So yeah, so got a random fast pass to use anytime. Got the Splash Mountain fast pass. So the last night we were there, we put all of that to good use, and rode everything, but never got my daughter on Splash Mountain again. She rode Test Track, she rode Soarin', she rode Mine Train four times, she rode Big Thunder Mountain four times, but would not go back on Splash Mountain because she got evacuated.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It is.
Yeah, you'll get her there. You'll get her there. She was close.
Soon enough. Yes. So, we were hoping because, like I said, we had friends down there, and she really looks up to their daughter. So we were hoping that if we did it all as a group, which we finally got some time to do that the last night we were there, and it still didn't work out. So. And,
right, so I got to ask, because I still haven't gotten a chance to ride it yet, so I make a point to ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. What'd you think of it? You know, what were the best parts of it? What maybe wasn't so impressive about it? What are your thoughts?
Well, the first time I rode it, I had to basically calm my daughter down because she was screaming the entire time. It was the first time she rode it, so it was the first time I rode it, so I didn't really get a good look. But we had fast passes two different days for it. So the second day, I want to say I like it. It was from reading everything and hearing everything, it felt like it was a lot more intense than people were talking about. Like, I was expecting kind of like Barnstormer-ish.
Right.
And if you're in the back, it's got some gusto to it, but nothing crazy, not Big Thunder Mountain or Space Mountain or anything like that. But, you know, everyone was, I don't want to say people were poo pooing it, but they were just being like, yeah, okay. So I don't know. It's not that intense. I wouldn't say intense, but it was a lot faster than I expected. Animatronics were fantastic. Didn't go through the actual queue, so I can't comment on that. But it's completely, I guess, immersive. I guess. I mean, you look at it, it's awesome. It's all kind of hidden behind a lot of the foliage and all of that. Animatronics are great. I like at the end that they have a nod to Snow White's Scary Adventure or whatever it used to be called.
Right.
And just overall, it was enjoyable. It might have been more enjoyable because my daughter loved it. She was looking forward to going. Like, I mean, anything that we got her on, I was excited about because all I was envisioning was 3 days into this thing, and it was going to be just a complete, like, downhill.
Right. The whole trip, you know, like last time when she was freaked out and wouldn't write anything.
Exactly. So, I was excited that she was on it. I thought it was great. I mean, I wrote it twice, and I really wish instead of Peter Pan, we would have used it on the first day too, to get a fast pass for it. But real quick, the only other thing I had about Fast Pass Plus,
sure.
I kind of alluded to it by saying that Magic Kingdom is kind of made for Fast Pass Plus. If you schedule your first three for your big headliners that you want early on, there is availability from about 11:30 on for any of those other second tier attractions that you can get almost immediately. Like if you go up, you spend maybe 5-8 minutes in a queue to get the actual additional fast pass. But we used it to get on Haunted Mansion right away, which was a 30-minute wait. We used it to get on Pirates right away, which was a 30-minute wait. We used it to get on Winnie the Pooh, which I would have never, ever ridden if it was a 30-minute wait, because it is not worth it at that point. We walked on it with that fast pass that we added after our first three. So if some of these other rides, like ones that you really wouldn't think about, are available, well, heck, like we used one for Tinkerbell, which I never thought would be worth it, except for the fact that it was a 45-minute wait, and we walked right up. We were the only people in the Fast Pass Plus line.
And that was a Fast Pass Plus that you hadn't planned on. It was a bonus because at Magic Kingdom, there are enough Fast Pass-worthy attractions that you've got leftovers.
It diversifies everything. So everyone tries to get your headliners right away, and then they're doing this other stuff, right? Like even one night, we walked out. We were planning on coming back that night and going on Splash Mountain or going to Magic Kingdom. I got a Splash Mountain Fast Pass for $9.50.
Okay.
At 1:30 that afternoon.
Very
which
nice.
I never expected that to happen. So, I mean, we were leaving
the park. And we should remind people that, you know, you were traveling in mid-August. I mean, the crowd levels, it wasn't tens, but it also wasn't the twos and threes that you find in, you know, September.
Right. No, I mean, it was six, sevens, and eights the entire time we were there.
Yeah, and you didn't have any problem getting at least fourth and sometimes fifth and sixth fast passes in the Magic Kingdom.
Yep. No, and I don't know if I should say it, but the best place to go get extra fast passes is down by Jungle Cruise, because no one knows that it's there.
Right.
And they had probably four or five machines there and two or three other people standing there with the little clipboard versions. So they were really, really banging people through. I mean, it was a 35-minute wait for Jungle Cruise, and instead of going and standing in line, I walked over, got a fast pass, and we walked through the fast pass line.
Okay.
And it was a 2-minute wait.
Like, see, because unless it was early in the morning, my guess is that half of the people who were standing in that standby line could have done the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just didn't bother to try.
This is post-lunch. I mean, we had lunch every day that we were there at 12:30 or 12 or later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was it was awesome. And Jungle Cruise, we went on it once at night, and we were the only people on there that spoke English besides the driver. And she might have been the best Jungle Boat captain ever and offered my daughter the ability to drive through the tunnel, and she said no.
Oh.
And she's going to be regretting that one in about 3 years when she realizes. And the only reason she didn't was because she thought she would actually have to drive the boat through a darkened tunnel. Like, she didn't understand.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know it's on tracks, right? She goes, no.
Sounds good. Well, I'm gonna kind of wrap us up here with just two or three quick hit questions. So I'm just going to ask you a quick question. Get me an answer. We'll wrap up. First question, 1980 R's over, you know, a week's time. Favorite entree?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ohana doesn't count as an entree.
Pick one element of it, sure.
Well, because I honestly think that it was the captain's grill. It was either I had a steak. We went there twice. We ended up going there the day that we left because we had one credit left. That's a long story, and I'm not getting into it. Okay. But we had one credit left, and I'm glad we went back because we had absolutely awesome service and a fantastic lunch before we left. And it completely redeemed it for us. Because after the first night debacle, but the steak I had the first night was awesome. And then the last meal I had there, which was the lobster roll and clam chowder, was fantastic. There was probably a pound and a half of lobster on that lobster roll. That might be a little facetious, but it like there were like two whole claws that were like the size of my fist. Cool. So yeah, I'm probably forgetting something that was even better, but those are the two that stick out right now. So. Sure.
And I have to ask a little, you know, beer nerdness question.
Yes.
So your favorite Walt Disney World beer find?
Let's see.
And not necessarily something you hadn't had elsewhere, but something you were especially happy to find someplace in.
Well, I was pumped that they had High Lie at Cruise Cup, so popped in there and had a couple of those. The fact that, and I know I talked about this on the last beer cast, but the fact that they had a whole bunch of New Belgium there now, be it Fat Tire or the Shift Lager or any of those, really, the Ranger IPA, the fact that they had all those there and they were in cans and you can get them at the pool.
Very nice.
Was great. I'm trying to think. I mean, I love being able to get Cigar City at Disney. That's just kind of they're a great little local Florida brewery.
Sure.
And I don't know.
You gave me four answers when I asked you for one favorite. So,
and
that's plenty.
And y'all are way overhyping the grapefruit beer.
I noticed that you weren't as much of a fan.
I mean, it was okay, but I expected like Imbruglia.
No bells and angels singing.
No. But yeah, so that was great. Cruise Cup was a nice little place. I wish that if I were to do an adults only trip, I would love to do Yacht Club just because it's next to Epcot, right. And there were three bars right there, plus you can walk right across the boardwalk. Cruise Cup would have been a place that I would have liked to hang out. It's just kind of
– right.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. Go ahead. What's the next question? Anything?
No. That's going to wrap us up. thanks so much for taking the time to sit down and talk to us about your trip. It's been a lot of fun talking.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horn figment of imagination.